So we drove down to the Garden Peninsula of the UP, and when we arrived, we were still pulling into the parking lot, and we could see dead birds just washed up everywhere. And it was a windswept day, huge waves, cold. It was in November. And as we walked down to the water's edge, you know, it was a field. There's this endless shoreline of scattered bird carcasses in all different stages of decay. It was overwhelming. Because if someone told me what they witnessed, I would think they were exaggerating. I don't think I believe the scope of it.
Massive bird die-offs, like this one, have been on the rise since the 1960s. It's a complex phenomenon. It has to do with something called botulism. Botulism exists all around us everywhere. It's not normally a problem, except when circumstances are just right. And this perfect storm of circumstance has been on the rise. Low lake levels, warmer temps, and the spread of invasive species all contribute. Liz LaPlante is with the Environmental Protection Agency.
Well, in the lower lakes, the lower food web has collapsed almost completely, which has then resulted in a fisheries collapse. It's a complex ecosystem interaction, but essentially the zebra, and now it's mostly the quagga mussels, you know, because they've been able to, you know, grab a foothold. They, you know, what they do is they filter the water. They're such great, efficient, you know, filters, that the water is now extremely clear. So people say, oh, wow, this looks really clean, but it's not a good thing. So then sunlight can now reach to lower depths, which then can cause the growth of algae, which and the algae growth does a couple things. One, it makes the botulism in the, you know, the existing, you know, soil be more bioavailable. The algae also is able to bloom now and take up, you know, a lot of the oxygen. So it depletes the oxygen. So then the fish come along, you know, eat the, you know, the algae, you know, die from the botulism. So they're floating or they're, you know, acting funny. So then the seabirds come down and eat the fish because they're so easy to catch. And then you have these massive die-offs, these bird die-offs. One of the most infamous ones happened at in Upper Lake Michigan.
So botulism spores make their way through the food chain from algae blooms, through these invasive mussels, to fish, and eventually birds and other animals. Once botulism gets in an animal's system, it causes paralysis. Joe Kaplan is a biologist. He was with George on the beach that day during the die-off.
We came across adult male, long-tailed duck that was in paralysis, and that was just struggling to try to get back out into the lake and was just getting battered by the waves until it was exhausted. And came up on shore, and you know, we just filmed it, and George filmed it. And you know, we were just there at the time that it took its last breath. That bird died right at sunset. It was a beautiful sunset. And long-tailed duck is one of the most beautiful North American waterfowl. So, I mean, everything was okay, except for, of course, this botulism.
In the last 10 years or so, the pace of these mass die-offs seemed to be picking up. And it's still a problem today. Sue Jennings is a biologist at Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore on Lake Michigan.
Since 2000, we've documented over 100,000 birds that have succumbed to this toxin. During those years of the really high numbers or the high outbreaks where we're documenting hundreds, if not thousands, of birds, it's very distressing. It's not uncommon for our monitors or visitors to come upon either a dead bird on the shoreline or a bird that is sick and struggling. And because it's a neurotransmitter, it affects their muscle. The muscle groups are unable to hold their head up. Quite often they drown in the water. Watching a bird struggle that way in the water or on the shoreline can be horrifying.
invasive species can wreak havoc on ecosystems. In Lake Michigan and the rest of the lower Great Lakes, they're causing a total food web collapse. On Lake Superior, we're lucky. It hasn't gotten to that point.
The zebra and the quagga mussels, although they have been found in Lake Superior, have not been able to colonize. And there's really not much we can do. They're there now. We just have to prevent further, you know, species from entering, because once they're there, they're there. Again, we think that because of the cold water and because of the, you know, the symmetry of the lake and, you know, the geography of the bottom, we think that they might not be able to gain a foothold, but we don't know for sure.
They're knocking on Lake Superior's door, that's for sure. Which is terrifying. You know, everyone thinks of Lake Superior as being one of the cleanest, greatest lakes in the world, which it is, but for how much longer?
You know, all of these problems are not things we did intentionally, but we're sort of plagued with this this unintended consequence of a kind of a globalization that has allowed these organisms to come into these new environments. And I mean, this is probably the biggest change that the Great Lakes has seen since they were created by the last glaciation.
Often the price we pay for our modern world comes at the expense of our environment. Warming lake temperatures also contribute.
Definitely, if the waters keep warming, it's going to be more of a hospitable environment for invasive species. And so far, you know, Lake Superior, we've lucked out. We really haven't had, you know, too much of a problem. But there's nothing to make us think that invasives could not gain a foothold as well in Lake Superior, especially with the stressor of climate change.
Yeah, it's sad. So, and the thing is, it's preserved because to take measures to prevent these invasive species or these organisms, all it is a matter of additional cost. But you know, sometimes we lack the political wherewithal to propose that.
Change won't come easy, and it certainly won't be free. There's a push to get stricter regulations in place on the shipping industry so that less invasives are brought in. There's also a draft out for public comment from the EPA on this very issue right now. Critics of the draft feel it doesn't go far enough to protect the lakes. There's also a lot of education around how boaters can help stop the spread of invasives by thoroughly cleaning their boats. In many areas, public washing stations have been set up.
I mean, we're still arguing about something of, you know, whether or not climate change is real. It's like, look what we're doing with carbon. We're taking carbon that's been sequestered in the earth 300 million years and putting it back in the atmosphere. Whether or not that has an impact, it just doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, we should start looking at alternatives before we end up with a terrestrial version of Lake Michigan where you know, we're the phytoplankton that's being engulfed or swallowed by these quagga mussels.
The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Program producers are Barbara Jean Johnson and Kelly Schoenfelder. This project is funded in part by the Coastal Zone Management Act, by NOAA's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, in cooperation with Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program. To learn more, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.